Marketing for a nonprofit isn't about selling. It's about messaging. It's how we stay connected with our donors, our volunteers, and the people we serve. It's how we invite new people to become part of our mission. But sometimes it can feel never ending. There's always another post to write, another story to tell, another update to share. And while I work hard to do all things marketing, there are definitely parts I dread, like creating and scheduling content for social media, or remembering how many times I need to talk about something so people actually hear it. That's where Engie comes in. Engie feels like a marketing partner who really gets me. It helps me figure out what to say, when to say it, and how to engage my audience in a way that feels true to my brand. It even helps me write everything in my voice and puts it all together in one big calendar so I can see how it's all going to play out. I can track what's working, plan what's next, and actually feel confident about my marketing. And I love the extras, like the monthly group coaching calls with experts, the simple social media scheduler, and the AI blog writer that makes creating content so much easier. So if you're ready for marketing to finally make sense, check out the link in the show notes. Trust me, you're going to love it. I want to take a quick moment to tell you about a platform I've been really impressed with. It's called Benevolate. Benevolate is a super intuitive CRM designed specifically for nonprofits, museums, and synagogues. It helps you manage donors, track relationships, and simplify the giving process, all in one easy-to-use place. What I love most is that the core package has no monthly fees for nonprofits, museums, or synagogues. None. There's just a small transaction fee, and donors can even choose to cover it, so your organization keeps more of every contribution. It's simple, smart, and built to make your mission easier to manage. If you've been looking for a better way to organize your supporters and grow your impact, check out Benevolate, where generosity meets simplicity.
Going back to the rumor mill.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the rumors? Let's write them all down. Okay. Newsflash, or something you may not want to hear. What is the kernel of truth to those rumors?
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we can, if your listeners don't walk away with anything else today, when they think about perception, what is the kernel of truth and what people are already saying?
Right.
Good or bad?
Right.
Welcome to the Nonprofit Nook, the podcast for nonprofit leaders, board members, and community changemakers who want to build stronger, smarter organizations. I'm your host, Wendy Kidd, a longtime business owner and nonprofit leader, and I'm here to bring you real talk, real tools, and real stories to help you thrive in the nonprofit world. I'll be talking with local nonprofit leaders, community changemakers, and experts in everything from board development to fundraising and digital tools, sharing real stories and simple strategies you can actually use. Because running a nonprofit is hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Nonprofit Nook. Today's guest is a returning guest, Ms. Kendria Taylor. She is a powerhouse in learning and development with over 20 years of experience spanning education, corporate, and nonprofit sectors. Known for her high energy, out of the box facilitation style, Kendria delivers training sessions that keep people laughing, learning, and fully engaged. Yes, even in the dreaded post-lunch slump. As the founder of TG8 Solutions Insight, she specializes in developing talent, strengthening communication, and helping organizations navigate conflict with creativity and confidence. Her impressive career includes leadership roles from VP to interim CEO, credentials in mediation and DEI, and a client list featuring names like Lockheed Martin, Texas Instruments, and the City of Denton. Kendria's mission, equipping organizations with the tools they need to innovate, engage, and thrive. Welcome back, Kendria.
I am so excited to be back.
I love that you're back.
Thank you for having me.
I think I haven't checked my stats this week, but I feel like your first episode was my most popular episode, period.
You know what? I love that. We talked about feedback.
Yes, we
right?
did. Mm-hmm.
I just came from a training mm-hmm. where I was talking about the 6G workforce. The 6G workforce,
yeah.
meaning all of the generations that will be in the workforce by 2035, we will have all of the generations in the workforce, including
wow.
including the new generation alpha.
The alpha generation. And I love them.
And the just the stress that went up in the room, because we were talking about uh-huh. delivering feedback to uh-huh. all the different generations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's still needed.
It's absolutely needed. Yeah. And I've used a lot of what you talked about. Good. And I've really appreciated it because it's helped me a lot in some tough situations and some tough conversations.
Yeah.
And I've been able to help some friends, giving them that same advice that you gave of how to go back to a boss or someone with mm-hmm. feedback and have that conversation. So thank you so much. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad people enjoy that podcast because yeah, I had a great time doing it.
Absolutely. Well, and that's why I had to have you back because I wanted to tackle another tough topic.
Well, let's get into it. I'm excited. Yeah, girl. What are we tackling?
We are talking about perception because I feel like this is something that we kind of stress about, mm-hmm. but we don't really name it and we don't really tackle it in an effective way. So I want to talk about different types of perception. I want to talk about the public's perception of you and how does it affect your leadership and your organization. I want to talk about your board's perception of you mm-hmm. and how that affects your relationship with the board and how your team's perception of you affects your working relationship with the leadership of the org and your staff. So I really, it's perception of, you know, that key player in the nonprofit world of the executive director. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in talking about this, we can talk about how perception of the board and other things kind of come into play. But I feel like that is a good place to start.
Okay.
Is perception of the executive director. So let's talk about first about how the public's perception of the executive director affects people and how we can work with that.
Okay. So let me start here though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you're going to back me up.
Yeah, yes. Let me start here. When you are in charge of a nonprofit organization, the first thing people look at is what is the perception of the organization?
Yep.
What do they do? What do they offer? What do they look like to the public eye? Are they organized? All of these things. And even if they don't know some of the intimate details, they're looking at what good do they do, right?
Right.
What is the good that they're putting out in the world? So they're looking at who's running this organization. And how aligned is this person's behavior, their executive presence, all of these things? Is it aligned with the mission mm-hmm. or what the organization, what good the organization is doing? So yeah. I think a lot of times, even, I mean, I've served on boards for a really, really long time. Even as board members, I know for me, when I was on a board, we were looking for a new CEO. And we were looking just kind of all across the board of everything. And I was like, some of these people don't work. But because they didn't have, their experience didn't even come with what is the good that we are doing.
Right.
So we finally settled on someone. And I'm going to be honest, Wendy.
Yeah.
This is a large organization, a $10 million nonprofit. I did not agree with the rest of the search team.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't agree.
Yeah.
While the CEO had experience, I was like, yes, he understands the mission. He's done a couple of things. I don't know if his presence aligns with the mission. So to answer your question, that's the first thing people think about. When this person came into the organization, I believe that, number one, the board members saw fundraising and not mission driven.
I think that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And so there's a perception of your board that's, hey, we're going to raise all these dollars. But there's also a perception of your people as the leader is, does he stand for what we stand for? Does she stand for what we stand for? Or are they just here to, you know, it's okay to elevate us. It's critical to elevate the organization.
Right.
But are you there to elevate yourself and the organization, get a piece in, you know, Dallas CEO magazine, or are you there to really think about the mission that people are driving behind the scenes?
Right.
So I think when you think about your perception as a leader, people see many different perceptions and how that impacts the board. I think for the board is just, can you do the job?
Right.
Do you look the part for your team? Do you feel the part?
Mm-hmm.
And for this particular organization, the relationship didn't last long because that person didn't really feel the part. And the perception was he doesn't really understand the touchy-feely things that we do here, you know? Right. So tell me if that gave you what you were looking for.
It's exactly what I was looking for. Okay. Because okay. I don't think people are aware of what others perceive about them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they think of it in those specific categories. Like they kind of just go, oh, what do people think of me? They don't really think of, well, how am I coming across to my board? How am I coming across to my team? Mm-hmm. How am I coming across to the public? You know, I think that we need to think about what creates that perception, mm-hmm. and how to influence that perception. Right. So mm-hmm. how would you suggest that someone kind of figure that out and how to change perception a little bit?
So I'm going to say this, and I think we ended the last time I was here, we ended with empathy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to start with empathy. How do we change that? Right. Mm-hmm. So I will remind your listeners, one of the things that I said about empathy the last time was everyone, if you ask someone, what is their definition or what's the general definition of empathy? Mm-hmm. It is, being able to, you know, walk in someone else's shoes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Guess what? Nonprofit leaders, there's a lot of areas where they need to be empathetic to staff who are helping some of the most vulnerable populations in our communities, in our counties, in our cities and states, and then other areas of the organization. But what happens, what I like to say on top of that is, yes, we want you to be able to walk in someone else's shoes, but to do that, you have to take your own shoes off first.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is you have to look at your own values, look at your own filters, whether it's the communities you come from, the families you come from, the college, or maybe you don't value, you know, traditional education, or whatever the case may be. It could be political, religious, everything, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to take your shoes off to be able to step into someone else's shoes.
Yeah.
And as a nonprofit leader, you have so many people under you that you are usually, you're not on the front lines, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But you also have a 30,000 foot view of paperwork and all these things that are happening, and you're not able to really connect immediately with what are my people going through? So I think if you walk into a room and you automatically say, you know what, let me walk in, let me take my shoes off. Help me understand what you do. Mm-hmm. Help me understand the impact that this makes. Help me understand how you collaborate with this department.
Right.
Right. And when you don't do that, guess what happens? You can get ready to create not an RFP, that's a small business, but when you're writing a grant, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I don't know what program is doing, but I'm marketing and I'm throwing all these things out there and I haven't even stepped inside of the program department to say, hey, what's the greatest impact that we've made? What's the greatest need we have? Give me some stories. Give me some examples. Help me understand how our team is getting all this done. And then you realize, what? We've helped 10,000 people? That's why our people are tired. Mm-hmm. That's why they're exhausted. But if you're just walking in with this disconnect, then people are going to see you as disconnected.
Yeah.
When you walk in with, I'm ready to be empathetic, or even if you don't utilize that language, if you walk in with, let me take my shoes off, let me take off down my filters and just listen and figure out where I start to make connections. I think nonprofit leaders could really do so much good mm-hmm. by doing that one thing.
Absolutely. I think that that's something that everyone needs to realize when they're coming into a new space is to listen.
That's right.
And learn from the people who've already been there. And if you mm-hmm. don't take the time when you first join an organization to do that, that affects the perception
Absolutely.
Of you hugely. And, you know, even for the smaller nonprofits where the CEO is on the front line mm-hmm. and they're, you know, they're dealing up the soup bowls as well as handling the accounting. I think that you also have to think of the perception of you doing the work for the programming, but also the work in the office. How are people perceiving both of those functions?
Absolutely. You know,
are they seeing both sides of that? Or are they not seeing both sides of that?
Absolutely.
And that's something else that affects the public's perception of you, as well as your team's perception of you and your board's perception of you.
There are people that will tell you the way you show value is that you give directions. That's because you are here. You are a lot higher. And again, you have a 30,000 foot view of a lot of different things in the organization. So some people feel that way. There are some people like me, like you, who I'm like, well, do we need to move that table? Because we only got 5 minutes before we need to get started. So let's move this table.
Yep.
And your people are going to see you as, I'm going to get in, I'm going to collaborate. Whatever collaboration looks like.
Right.
Right? That's me collaborating with my team to move a table.
Right. Right. So I'm going to say something that I think people are going to maybe not be as happy with.
Okay.
But I feel like people also don't realize the perception that they give off when they are constantly saying I'm busy. And I feel like with our nonprofit leaders who are on the front lines too, that is something to be very aware of. And that's again why I pull back to, you gotta let them see you doing other things, not just the programming work.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. They need to know. Well, and for me, my perception of a leader is someone that I do see doing all those things, so I know that that person knows exactly what I'm going through when I don't see them doing it. They also, I look at them as, you understand how much work needs to be done, and you don't care about how we get it done. You just want to jump in and make sure we get it done.
Right, right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So let's just do it. Not, well, this is my job here, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many scenarios to this.
We could go down so many rabbit holes really right now. And just thinking about our own experiences, you know, I mean, not only have I served on boards, but I worked in nonprofit for a long time. So my board perspective and the perception that members of that organization had of me is she's always thinking about us. I'm always thinking about the people who are serving the people.
Right? And I can testify that that is what Kendria does.
Right. That is what, which is why what I do for a living is so in alignment with what I feel. So when I go to boards, I'm looking at how are we, this is our goal. This is our big audacious goal. Great. How do we support the people that are going to be supporting that goal? So that is the perception that most, that I would say all the boards that I've served on have of me.
Yeah, for sure. Well, okay. So let's talk about, you know, how your own perception of your own team and of your own board affects how you do your job.
Oh, that's hard. Well, you know what? No, it's not hard. I'm going through the transition because I'm chairing a board right now, and I'm now the immediate past president of another board that I was on, and they sent out a newsletter just recently, and I was like, oh, I wouldn't have done it that way. Oh, I wish they would have put that. And I was like, and it was like. I mean, it was like, and it wasn't bad. It was just like, oh, I wish they would have done that, right? And then I have another board that I am now the president of, and I'm just the founder. I'm just like, okay, me and you need to have a conversation. So when I look at the board, what my perception, I'm just going to be flat out, my perception of this particular board is they're all over the place. We're not going to get anything done.
That sounds like they need me.
They do. And then I say, okay, how do we bring order?
Yeah.
And it's just little things. And so the founder reached out to me and said, I love the way that you just always bring order to whatever we're doing, whether it's, you know, in the meetings. I'm like, hey, you got 2 minutes to say what you're going to say.
Right.
Because we are going to end this board meeting on time.
Yep.
And it's little things like that.
Yep.
And so they see me as effective and efficient, but I also listen. Mm-hmm. But as the leader, I don't see them as efficient. I see them as all over the place, but also needing direction.
Sure.
And and so for me and from my experience and what I'm doing now is just inserting rules or guidelines little by little by little. It's not overwhelming. I sat and listened to the first like 3 or 4 board meetings and I was like, we are going 45 minutes over and you guys are just having a conversation. About nothing that has to do with what we're talking about.
Not board business.
So for me, I also started seeing board members that just stopped showing up.
That's always a bad sign.
That's a bad sign. We're not getting the work done. And you also might be seen as ineffective, lackadaisical. You know, you don't know what you're doing. There's so many perceptions that can come from just being inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So being able to just understand even just a tiny bit about Robert's rules. You don't have to be a master.
Right. Right.
But understanding how to stop and start a meeting and give your secretary all of those things matter. And I think inserting some type of, but I'm a rule person. Remember, my communication style is all about how we succeed, how I thrive is guidelines around me. Another leader may insert fun before, hey, we're going to have 15 minutes of talk time, mm-hmm. and then we get down to business. But to me, that's still a structure.
Right.
Right. So right. Inserting structure into what you're doing, even if you're an all over the place squiggly line,
mm-hmm.
if you have a structured set agenda and all of these things, people will see you as fun but efficient.
Exactly.
Right. And it takes work to get there.
Yeah.
It takes absolutely. Work to get there.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that's, we've got to figure out as, and I think, you know, I got to send people back to the first episode with you with the feedback, because mm-hmm. if you're having conflict, guaranteed it's part of a perception issue.
Absolutely.
You know, people are projecting onto you through their own filters what mm-hmm. they think. And, you know, like you said, if you're a squiggly line, people might assume that you're lackadaisical and lazy and whatnot because you feel all over the place. But if you put in some structure, it helps communicate better.
Absolutely.
That you're not that. But you also need to have that conversation, because a lot of times people don't realize it's a problem until we're now all in a very negative place. And like you said, board members not showing up.
Right.
Right. That's so, right. You know, I wanted to do this whole episode just because I don't feel like we name the beast and we right. don't go, okay, this is a perception problem and how do I fix it? Instead, we just get wound up in our feelings and how we perceive things.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of taking those shoes off, we get all wound up and it just falls apart.
And the reality is it is about our feelings. Mm-hmm. My perception is about how I feel about you.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about our feelings, but if we are not regulating what those feelings are,
mm-hmm.
to your point, I say, you said name the beast. I say name and tame it, right?
Yes.
Name and tame.
Yes.
So I am upset with you. So, but why am I upset with Wendy? Well, I really felt that you didn't give me the opportunity, or I felt, I'm naming that actual feeling.
Yes.
Well, you embarrassed me, so I really feel embarrassed more than anger, right? That embarrassment might have turned into anger, but let's name and tame it, because now I have this perception of you that you're willing to throw your people under the bus. Ooh, no.
That's awful.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. No, I just, there was a moment where I said something and I probably should have took you to the side, but maybe I wasn't even thinking about that. So now I throw people under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the perception that I want. And we need to clear that up quickly. Right? Because it is about how I made that person feel. And I think that's the big thing about empathy. How do you make your people feel?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
If you make your people feel like, you know, you're not supporting them, supporting the mission, then guess what? They're going to tell you, you have no empathy for us. You just want to get the work done. You want to hit the numbers. And guess what? We all have numbers and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
But the people are equally as important.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why I think empathy is the first way to start. But you just brought up something so great, because we bring emotions into the workplace, especially nonprofits are, you know,
it's all about emotions. Place. Yes. It's all heart.
It's all heart.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it's about the heart and the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's in your heart and what you will do with your hands based on what's in your heart, which means how are you going to serve, you know, the mission, the people that support the mission, and the people that are being supported because of the mission.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay. I'm going to give you two specific scenarios. I know we didn't talk about this beforehand, so I'm putting you on the spot. But I want to address two things that I can hear people saying so many times.
Okay.
And it's either the ED coming to me and saying, I can't stand my board. We don't work well together. I feel like I'm about to get fired. What do I do? Or the flip side, where the board mm-hmm. is saying, we don't get along with the ED. We don't feel like they're getting their job done. we don't know what to do because we just don't get along.
Mm-hmm.
How can we help those people? How can we help those people? What steps can we advise them to take? I'm already picturing it in my head what you're going to say. So I'm waiting to see if it matches up with what you actually say. But
so first, I'm going to go back to communication. Mm-hmm. And here's what I will tell you. I actually recently had a board reach out to me. And it was actually the board chair mm-hmm. who reached out to me. Mm-hmm. And they said, we have some major issues, not only with our board, but our CEO and how that's trickling down to our staff.
Yeah.
And so
that always happens.
It always happens. Yeah. So if your board comes to you and say, we're just not getting along with our ED mm-hmm. or CEO, and your CEO comes to you and says, I'm just not getting along with my board. First, I want to know why.
Yep.
Are we in alignment with the mission? Next thing, are we in alignment with how to fulfill and execute on the mission?
Mm-hmm.
If those two things are in place, then me and you are just having a communication issue. Whether it's I'm too direct and you're not direct enough, whether I am not specific enough for what needs to be done, or I'm not available, or my performance is not where it needs to be,
mm-hmm.
then those are the things we need to tackle. But we need to get real about what do we need to tackle. Now, if we don't agree on how to get to the mission, well, how do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, how did we get there? So now I need to go back and I need to figure out when we both, our courses kind of split apart.
Yeah. When did it diverge?
Yeah. When did you go this direction and I went that direction? And so that's the first thing I would tell people to do and that's the first thing I tell this organization to do.
Mm-hmm.
After she told me, hey, these are some of the things that are happening. I said, okay, first, I would really love to come in and do a communication assessment with you all. Because mm-hmm. I want to make sure that you're actually hearing each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Because those filters, that perception is in the way.
Perception is in the way.
It's in the way.
That's the only thing that impacts our communication most of the time.
Yep.
I have all these thoughts and feelings and emotions that are happening, and I haven't really sat down to actually listen. So today, I was working with a group of detention officers before I got here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, I had boomers, Gen Z, I had them all in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they were going at it. So I gave them the assignment and I said, okay, tell me what you don't like about this generation or what just gets on your last nerves. And boy, did they have a good time talking about what gets on their nerves about each of the generations. So I said, okay, when it's your time, when it's their time to talk about, you know, your generation, so my generation being Gen X, when it's time for them to talk about Gen X, I want all my Gen Xers to write down everything that everybody has to say about us. So they did. And they were ready. I said, now go back to your corners. And I want you to talk about, and they were so ready to defend themselves. I said, I want you to talk about what is the kernel of truth in what they are saying.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, wait a minute, no, that's not where we thought you were going. I was like, that's exactly where I'm going. What is the kernel of truth? Sometimes we're having, again, these conversations, these perceptions, these emotions, all of these things. I would tell the board ED, have a conversation with your board members. Bring them in one at a time or all together. And then find out, be retrospective or introspective and say, what is the kernel of truth in what they're saying?
Right.
Because there's a reason why they're saying what they're saying, and sometimes we can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's not all true, but what's the kernel of truth in what they're saying?
Right.
And that can really change the conversation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I would recommend that for the executive director / CEO.
Mm-hmm.
Get some information, get some feedback from your board, even if you don't like it all, and then find out what the kernel of truth is. And even if you pick three things and you say, I do that. I really do that. They were right about that one.
Yeah.
These other 10, they're not right. Okay, I don't care about the other 10. What I do care about is the three that you just identified is what you actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Work on those three.
Love that.
Because later on, because it's too, I like to compartmentalize. I can't work on 10 things at once, but I can work on one or two or three things, right?
Right.
So for the ED, get that feedback and then compartmentalize and then start to work on those things.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the board, I would say the same thing, but the board is a little more broader than just that one person.
Right.
I would say to the board the mission that you've been supporting. Kind of where are you at right now and still supporting this mission? I know when it's time for me to leave boards. I always know when it's time for me to leave a board because I start to disconnect in a way. So I always show up and do what I need to do, but I stop signing up for things to do.
You stop doing the above and beyond.
I stop doing the above and beyond.
Yeah.
So when that happens, are you still connected to the mission? Do you still want to drive and execute on the mission? What has gotten in the way? Mm-hmm. And whatever has gotten in the way, it could be family.
Yeah.
Right? It could be what you're doing for yourself now is just not the top priority that it was. And you have an obligation to that board to say, it's time for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so I think for board members, it really is about, for me, I assessed every year.
Yeah.
I assessed the impact that I was making on the board. And there was times where I was like, oh, I did a really good job. I brought this, 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 and this, and this. And there were times where when I assessed the impact, it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm not really making an impact. Let me move on.
Yeah.
Right? And so sometimes I think, because what's the perception that people are having of me as a board member?
Yep. So you're not thinking about that. You're thinking you're sitting there, you're doing your board meeting job, but you're not really doing anything.
Right.
You're not being noticed, not contributing, and people notice.
Right. And people, and I mean down to the people on the front lines, they're like, we see our board is of 25 people, but we see the same 12 people every board meeting.
Yeah, hear that all the time.
Right? So really assess the impact. And I think for the ED, send something out and say, I would like for all of us to look at the impact that we've made on the organization, where we kind of want to go with the organization, and if we want to go away from the organization. Those are hard questions, but ask those questions.
Absolutely. So either scenario, you're saying start with yourself first.
Start with yourself. You know, I'm always talking about reflection.
Mm-hmm.
I give myself 5 years for every board, but at year two, I'm thinking, okay, what was my impact for this board?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, what have we not talked about that you think we should talk about?
I don't know, because you're such a great host, Wendy. You're such a great host.
I just want to make sure I don't miss anything.
I don't know. Let me think. Because perception is one of those things that we really could go down a few rabbit holes of how to, because perception is everywhere. It's
yep.
all around us.
Yep.
Are we doing a perception check?
Yeah.
I know I do. Every time I leave a training, I'm like, oh, I could have did this better. I could have that better. Mm-hmm. I did this really good, but I really, you know, and I don't think most people do
something
that.
I think a lot of smaller nonprofits don't do well. Mm-hmm. And I love my smaller nonprofits. That's my crew. That's mm-hmm. my crowd. But they don't assess what the public perception of their organization is. They don't have
Absolutely.
Anybody out there asking that question. They're not sending surveys. Mm-hmm. And I think that affects so much of the, you know, are people going to want to volunteer with you? What's the rumor mill, right? We all check the rumor mill before we go join up.
We didn't talk about that.
You know?
Absolutely.
Same thing for board members. They don't want to sign up if they hear that it's a tough board or, you know, they never get anywhere or they're rudderless, you know, and they don't know who to blame because they're not living it. They're not in it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if you're not asking these questions, if you're not, you know, ask people when they leave why they left.
Yes. Get with your team and find out what resources did we have this year we didn't have this year that we had last year and why. Mm-hmm. I do this a lot I've worked with every single last junior league in the country. And I mean all over the country, including the one in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing I say. What do you not have this year? Do you not have enough people joining league? Because that money goes towards the mission that you have. Are you not raising enough dollars? And why not? Did people not come give the way they gave? And why do you think that is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What resources are you losing? So if you can't really start with, well, I don't know what people's perceptions are, I would ask, what resources did we not have this year?
Right.
I'm telling you, that's going to send you down so many other questions. Well, we don't have any resources because this person, but why? Because that's when you start to ask the why.
Yep.
So why didn't they give this year? Ask them why they didn't give, or ask them why they left. Ask them why they are no longer active, but they wanted to sustain. People will tell you, but you definitely need to your point, yeah. You definitely need to ask, but I would actually start, especially for those smaller nonprofits, mm-hmm. what resources did we not have this year? And also, what resources did we have?
Yep.
Because if you got all these resources, ask people, why did you give to us so generously this year?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, because we felt you did da-da-da-da-da. Okay, guess what? That's people's perception of you.
Yeah.
Do more of that. Get that out there even more.
Absolutely.
You
don't want just the negative feedback. You want the positive feedback too.
Right.
Again, we're going back to feedback, but
but
that's what it is.
Yeah. Going back to the rumor mill.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the rumors? Let's write them all down. Okay. Newsflash, or something you may not want to hear. What is the kernel of truth to those rumors?
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if we can, if your listeners don't walk away with anything else today, when they think about perception, what is the kernel of truth and what people are already saying?
Right.
Good or bad?
Right.
Have some of those sessions. Hey, you guys, this week, this is what happened. What's the kernel of truth and what was said about us in the news?
Mm-hmm.
What is the kernel of truth of why, this foundation gave to us and they haven't given to us ever?
Yeah.
Like, those things are so important, and I don't think we spend time defending ourselves. We spend time trying to, do other things, but sit down and just think, what's the kernel of truth in that rumor?
Right.
The reality is people are leaving leagues across the country because they find them catty and there's a lot of conflict.
Not unheard of in organizations, period. Not just your leagues.
Right. So what is the kernel of truth to our league? What's the kernel of truth to our organization? That's your starting point.
Yeah.
And then let's fix one or two things. We'll add three or four more. And then you go from there. But you do a systems check. And your systems check is, what is the kernel of truth in what they're saying?
I love that. I think that's perfect. That's exactly what we wanted to talk about.
Good.
Thank you, Ms. Kendra. I appreciate it so much.
This
was so great. I am going to just challenge my listeners.
Okay.
I'm going to say, if anybody else thinks of other things that they think we should have addressed, come back and ask.
Absolutely.
Shoot me an email. Reach out to us through LinkedIn. We're both on there. You can find mm-hmm. us. Because we might need to do just a whole Q&A session.
Absolutely.
Over this stuff. So, sound good?
I would love to hear some scenarios that are kind of happening out there.
Yeah.
What went right? What didn't go so right? So,
Sure.
No, I love that.
Awesome.
I love
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And before we sign off today, I do want to let my listeners know I won't be releasing new podcast episodes on December 23rd and December 30th due to the holiday season. I'll be back with a fresh episode on January 6th. I want to wish everyone a happy holidays, and I hope you all get time to rest and enjoy family and friends in the next few weeks. I know you are all out there serving, and I appreciate you. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Nook. We're building better nonprofits together. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with other nonprofit leaders who need support. Follow the Nonprofit Nook on social media and sign up for our email list for extra tips and updates. You can also visit thenonprofitnook.com to see the show notes and leave a comment telling me what topics you want next. Your feedback shapes the show. See you next time.